connecting religious things where it's right. like there's a skeleton in a church. It's covered in gold.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
That's what I thought it was.
I mean, sure, you see, like, remains of people in tombs, but it's not just, like, dead bodies.
Those are dead bodies, Jake.
Strung out. I mean, yeah, I guess, like, technically.
What do you mean,
I mean
technically?
That's technically... Okay, when people, like, say dead bodies on the road, like, that's what Camino means. It means the road in Spanish. They're not necessarily referring to, like, cemeteries. Because obviously... <it's>...
Fine, okay. Okay, I get it. I get it now. There are no dead bodies on the road.
No, no dead bodies on the road unless someone drops dead in front of you.
No, okay. Well, I mean, you went to a bunch of churches. Wait, I never asked you about the chicken church.
Oh my god, the chicken church, yes. I went to a chicken cathedral in a town, I think it's called... Santo Domingo de Caldaza or Calzada. And... It's named after Santo Domingo, which I think is Saint Dominic. I could be wrong, but there is a local legend which involves the revival of dead chickens. It was something about a pilgrim passing through the town, falling in love with a girl, and the girl's family accused him of stealing something from them, and he was executed. But a saint blessed his body and he was revived, and he was just like, his like living body was just like hanging on the gallows for days.
Okay.
And for some reason nobody believed in the miracle and they ended up killing two chickens. I'm a terrible storyteller because I don't remember the gist of the story, but essentially it is that they ended up sacrificing some chickens to prove that the miracle was the townspeople sacrificed chickens to prove the miracle was a fake, and the chickens ended up being revived again, so they had to believe in the miracle. And it is said in this town that the living descendants of the chicken are still stored in the cathedral, where there are chickens in the cathedral, but it is alleged that these are the living descendants of that pair of chickens from like 600 years ago.
Okay.
So that must have been like at least 1,000 chickens, right?
That's a lot of chickens. Yeah. I don't know why. I have to say, like, when you were first starting talking about the story, my brain went not biblical, but it went Greek myth, in that I thought you were going to say this man fell in love with a chicken.
God. Yeah. Zeus appeared in front of this man as a chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they made babies.
The
baby was birthed out of Rooster Zeus's forehead.
What?
And the baby became the patron god of chickens.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. I know nothing about Abrahamic religions.
I also thought that you were going to say Abraham Lincoln. And I was like... I was prepared to say, what does this have to do with chickens?
I mean, to be very fair, like, I also don't know anything about Abraham Lincoln.
He was really tall.
And he wore a hat. It made him even taller.
Yes. And he went to see a really bad play.
And then he was shot?
Yes.
Okay.
That's why the play was bad. That was a joke, Leslie.
Oh. I don't know. I thought maybe he went to see the stage adaptation of A Little Life, like some people. Tell us about that.
It was bad. That was my review. I feel like my review of the book was a little bit more nuanced. We spent like 2 hours talking about the book, and my review of this play is just that it's bad. Don't let British people like try American accents. They will not succeed. That is my review.
Oh, so bad.
Yeah, you heard it here, folks. What do you think if, like, a Canadian company were to do this play instead?
That's a great question. I do not want to see it. You are free to speculate what would happen. I am not doing this again.
What if thick French-Canadian accent? Or, like, very thick, like, Newfoundland accent?
I would love to see, like, a French-Canadian, like, not even, like... from like Quebec, I would see like an Acadian French version of A Little Life.
What do you think will happen in it?
Well, what happened in it is that nobody will die.
It's a miracle.
It is a miracle. It is a French Canadian miracle.
Mm-hmm. I have to say, I do keep kind of getting distracted because we're sitting in this... What is this park?
I don't know. It's a park. It's...
We're sitting in this park, and, like, these seagulls, their wingspan is so big. These look like gigantic seagulls. That's it. That's all I wanted to say. Bird note. That's the bird note of the week.
Why do you think they're so big?
Why do I think that they're so
big? What is your analysis as the resident expert of birds? What is it called? Ornithologist?
Ornithologist?
Ornithologist.
An ornithologist?
Yes.
I think these seagulls are probably really big because they have to pay rent in Vancouver, and so they have to shoulder a lot, and so they kind of bulk up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
How much rent do you think they pay per month?
I'd say, like, about as much as anybody in Vancouver.
Yeah, like, but I feel like they probably have, like, a ton of roommates, right? Because even though they're so big for seagulls, they're still relatively small compared to humans. So you can fit, like, probably, like, one seagull per square foot.
I think some seagulls probably... I mean, like, I think the seagulls that we're seeing around here right now, they're probably, like, a little bit more, like, urbanized, almost. So they're not as used to, like, living in their little colonies and stuff. Mm-hmm. It probably... You know, it's kind of like... You become of age, you move into the big city, you try to make it there.
Yeah.
That type of thing. So I think...
A little life with seagulls.
Shut up. Shut up.
Oh my god, can you imagine Seagull Jude? Oh my god, with one wing.
No! Jade! That's so cool. But also, yeah, I mean, yeah. Oh, no. Can you... What was his name again? Like, Jude Alexander something?
Jude St. Francis, I think.
Jude St. Francis. You meet a seagull named Jude St. Francis, of all things.
I can see it, though. I feel like seagulls probably have some pretty crazy names. They're all, like, named, like, Percival and, like, Athanasius.
Octavia.
Yeah.
Well, good to know. During this period that we have not recorded the show together...
I think we both got, like, a little hog wild.
In what way?
In the fact that we're talking about seagulls with one wing and playing Rent in Vancouver.
I'm sorry, is this not your regular episode of Typically Tuesdays? We've talked about the Omegaverse on the show.
Oh my god,
before.
That's true.
Yeah. We've gone everywhere.
It's been a few months since I've been on Typically Tuesdays. I think my brain has been washed completely clean of the show. So this is like a wild reintroduction for me.
Culture shock.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
Or what do they call it? Reverse culture shock when you come back from like a long vacation and nothing makes sense anymore in your native land.
It's kind of like when a seagull who has spent 3 years in Vancouver goes back to, I don't know, like
it's
Prince
like,
Rupert
it's,
or something.
It's kind of like if a seagull was abandoned by his parents and raised in a monastery with monks and a really terrible priest, and ends up escaping the monastery and then ends up in foster care, finally goes to college for the first time.
What do you mean, like, he finally goes to college for the first time?
Like, he finally, like, experienced what modern life is for most people around him his age.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Because that's culture shock.
That is culture shock. And then at some point he loses one wing.
Yeah. No, this is before college. He loses the wing before college.
Oh.
But, like, people are chill with it. They never ask about the wing, and he's just like, oh, yeah, it happened when I was little. I was in an accident.
Okay.
And then after going to college, he goes to law school and ends up becoming a federal prosecutor for a few years before falling in love with his friend. And then everybody dies. That's quite the shock, isn't it?
I think the falling in love and then the sudden death feels very like what is that? Like, that's kind of like, that's kind of like a BL manga, but not quite. I don't know. Maybe not a BL manga. Maybe like there's gotta be something else. Something that's a better comparison. Shoujo manga from the 70s. Literally, I do think, like, when I was younger, I did read a shoujo manga story from about the 70s or 80s that mirrored that pretty hard.
Yeah.
Except in that story, they were humans. They weren't seagulls.
I see.
Mm.
Was the seagull a lawyer? Was the human a lawyer?
That was a shoujo manga. Everybody's a teenager.
Everybody was a lawyer. See, this is what I want to see in a shoujo manga. I want to see a shoujo manga where every single person is a lawyer.
I feel like, is that shoujo manga?
I feel like this is like the premise of many K-dramas, but I have not read a single shoujo manga where everybody was an attorney.
Sorry. But I feel like for a K-drama, that's more like a workplace romance.
That's true.
Whereas, like, a shoujo manga, it's more likely to take place not at work.
Everyone's in law school.
Everyone's in law high school.
Pre-law high school, yeah.
Pre-law high school.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Can you imagine the type of drama that would happen in pre-law high school?
Can you imagine the type of drama that does happen in law school? It is truly out there.
I believe you. I also think that, like, pre-law high school is, like, if you put a lot of theater kids into one room, but instead of a lot of theater kids into one room, and instead of, like, over-dramatically, like, expressing their feelings and stuff, they play logic chess all day.
Yeah. Do you think that's a better outcome or a worse outcome?
Either way, you get Miles Edgeworth.
That's fair.
I got it.
won't love me, it won't cost a thing. Not the kind of girl you buy a diamond ring. So why don't we just start with the ending? I think nobody cares, we're just pretending. Run to the river, but it outlined you. You're asking me to pray, who am I praying to? I search my soul, but it's never ending.
Talk about Farewell My Concubine.
Yeah, let's do it. Just jump into it.
I watched it.
And?
I enjoyed it. But I don't... Okay, so I feel like... Really, this is for the listener. Anybody who wants to, like, invalidate my identity, this is for them. That's why I needed to say it, because you already know.
Yes.
I found out that it was, like, almost 3 hours long, and I gave up nearly, but I didn't. I don't know. What makes you like the movie?
I don't know. It's just really sad, but in a way that was historically contextual, I think that's my jam.
I guess that's fair.
What made you like the movie?
I liked that there was, like, a lot of nuance in the sad parts of it.
Yeah.
These people are not, like, one-dimensionally sad. There are reasons for their sadness.
Yes.
Yeah. It was, like, really contextualized in that sense.
Nice.
I don't know. What are your thoughts on how Chinese writers depict queerness?
They need to do it more. That's my thought. It wasn't sexy enough.
Yeah. Nope, it wasn't sexy enough. I also, I don't know, I feel like I notice this pattern often in Chinese depictions of queerness. It's like, a lot of it is like, it's, you know how like there's often this idea that like gender and sexuality are separate?
Yeah.
I feel like in a lot of Chinese queer media, they're very, like, they're very, not conflated, but they're like conjoined twins.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I thought it was really interesting. Okay.
It has been like 6 years, like over 6 years since I've seen Fearful and Concubine, so I don't think I have many things to add to this discussion.
Okay. Okay. Do you think that they dubbed Leslie Jones' voice?
I don't know. Does he speak Mandarin?
I don't remember.
I know that he's released music in Mandarin, but I don't know if he's fluent in it.
Yeah, because he had like a very thick Beijing accent.
Yes.
In the movie.
I mean, maybe he's just a really good actor.
That could also be true.
Yeah.
My mother, when I started to watch it, my mom was like, I think I've seen this movie before and it was so sad that I forgot everything about it. If she had to ask me about everything that was happening in the movie, why is he getting beaten? What's happening here?
I feel like my parents do that all the time. Like, and it's like, okay, like, this is going to be explained in the movie. You don't have to ask me now. Like, whenever we watch a movie together with my mom, and she would just, like in, like, the first 10 minutes of the movie, she's like, oh, who's that? Oh, who's that? Oh, what's happening here? It's like, yeah, like, it is called suspense, mother. Like, they will tell you later. This is foreshadowing.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, that. Oh, look at one of those city seagulls again. Two of the city seagulls. They're so big. They're ginormous. I feel like they're like the size of like a chicken, maybe.
You know what they say? Seagulls are the chickens of the beach.
I don't know enough about chickens to know about how they live.
I don't either. I just made that up.
Oh.
I don't think anybody says seagulls are the chickens of the beach, but I feel like there's some sense in that.
You think?
It's like how people say that tuna is the chicken of the sea, and seagulls live... Actually, I don't think seagulls live on the beach. Seagulls are associated with the beach, and the beach is associated with the sea, and the sea is associated with tuna, and therefore, by logical deduction,
seagulls are the tuna of the
beach.
Oh. Yeah. Seagulls are the tuna of the beach.
No, seagulls are the chicken of the beach.
Where does tuna come
Because tuna are the chicken of the sea, and seagulls sometimes fly over the sea and live on the beach.
Okay.
Therefore, seagulls are the chickens of the beach.
But do tuna live on the beach?
No, they live in the sea. Oh my god, what are we doing?
I guess one last thing. I don't think you'll be on the show anymore.
No, yes. I have graduated from radio.
Mm-hmm. I think about, like, those idols who graduate.
Oh my god, yes.
Yeah.
I need to do, like, a farewell concert.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, yeah. Do a little live stream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, I know we've been promising it for, like, probably 3 years, but we will not be able to do a City Pop episode for the time being.
Yes.
Until Jade is released from the confines of law school, either temporarily or permanently, as in he graduates from that.
Or gets expelled.
We're not gonna... What would you possibly be expelled from law school for?
For failing all my exams, for one.
You get examined?
Yeah. What do you think happens in law school?
I thought you just write papers.
No, you only get exams.
Really?
Yes.
What are they testing you on?
The law.
Like, what code?
Yeah, they're testing
you
on, you know, like, the laws that you have learned, the cases that you've learned, and they'll give you, like, a hypothesis, a hypothetical situation, and you'll have to, like, explain, like, what could happen legally in this situation. You think you write papers in law school?
I do. I thought, like, maybe they would present you with a case, and then you have to, like, write a paper about it. Like, maybe it's, like, hypothetical. Or
yeah,
maybe
I mean,
like,
they do that on the exams. It's examined. Like, you write essays. They're, like, 4 hours long.
Guess which one of us is going to law school? Okay. Well, fine.
Also, you can fail your papers, too, and get expelled. Like, just, like, completely do terribly on them.
I don't think that will happen. Okay. Jada's just blinking at this point, so... I think that's it. Any final words for the listener?
Shout out to Typically Tuesdays. It's been real. Goodbye, Vancouver, forever. I'm never coming back. Peace.
Wow, that's cold. Okay, well, that's it. You know, thank you to Jade for sticking with the show for 4 years.
Yeah, it's been 4 years.
Yeah, 4 years. Holy
wild.
Crap. Wow. We'll miss you. Me a little bit more than the listener, because I know you personally.
I mean, maybe the listener knows me personally, too.
Knows me personally?
Me.
You?
Yeah.
I guess some do. But he's my friend. Back off.
There can only be one.
There can only be one. Okay, well, yeah, that's it. Thank you for tuning in to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Tune in to more great programming where it's a little bit less unhinged than this. Check out Intravenous every Wednesday from 10 to 11. It's talking about all things all genders with Robin and Nat. Okay. Signing off. Goodbye.
Bye.